Morning and God's peace to all. Welcome this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful crowd out there. Children of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, we can rejoice in this day of grace that he's given us. This morning we'll open up with Psalm 80, which is the psalm for today. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen, and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. And she sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou hast made us strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. I'm just saying a few words about this psalm. There's a lot of information here, a lot of symbolism, and it's hard to see exactly what's being spoken about at first glance, but in verse 1, the shepherd of Israel that the psalmist is speaking of, the shepherd of Israel is Christ. When he speaks of all the disasters and whatnot that are going about this vine was Israel. And he sees the lament that's in the psalmist's voice here, crying out for salvation from what had been sent forth as a promising start, where he speaks about coming out of Egypt, coming out of captivity, and the prosperity that this vine had shown, how Israel had shown, but how it was being turned away from that prosperity and all. And we look, especially, I think, as the centerpiece of this psalm, and it's the repeated phrase from verses 3 and verse 7, and then a closing verse in 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And we see the faith of the psalmist there, knowing that it's not by any strength that we can come up with on our own, but he's calling out to God for that turning action, that strength to be turned, and that it wouldn't just be a random turning, but it would be a turning again to God, and that God's face would shine unto our salvation. And that shining face, we've heard a lot about light. Alan spoke about light at this last week in Advent, and this morning we were talking about light a little bit, just on this the second coming of Christ, and even as good as things are going in this life at times, and how comfortable we can be, we know that the only place that true comfort and true light comes from is from God's Word, and from that forgiveness that we have through Christ. And that's where our hope lies, that's where our hope rests, and that's where we pray that our eyes would be turned to that horizon, looking for his second coming. So just thought I'd say a few words there. I appreciate Maybe Jim doesn't want me taking all this time up, but appreciate that anyways. So, wonderful morning this morning. Thankful to be here. Let's all humble our hearts in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we do thank you for giving us this day that we can come together from all our different, the busyness of life and all our different duties and vocations that we've been given. We can all come together under this roof. Your children, your family, adopted into your merciful grace, Lord, through Christ. We thank you that we can come together and hear your word. We pray this morning that we would all be strengthened. We would be strengthened by your word, by the reading and speaking of your word. And we pray that you would be with our brother as he stands in this place to speak. That you would still his mind and his heart, and that you would work through him, that you would speak through him, that you would anoint his tongue with your words, so that all of us could be fed by that word. We pray this morning that just even as we're approaching this Christmas next week, that our eyes, even through this time of Advent, would be turned to you, that our eyes would be turned not only to that manger in Bethlehem and that babe who was laid there, that we would look at that imagery and that picture, and we see all these nativity scenes, but that our eyes would be opened to the meaning for why he came. And why he came was for the salvation of your creation, Lord, for each one of us here today. We know that's what your promise was from the foundation of the world, that a Savior would be sent so that your creation would be redeemed, and that each one of us, each one of your children, would be able to spend eternity with you in paradise one day. Lord, we pray for each one of us here this morning as we face different challenges in this life. We pray, Lord, for even our brother Ted here, who has been able to come and spend this Sunday with us as he's coming up on a surgery this week. We pray that you would be with him. Give him peace. Give him comfort. We pray that you would be with the doctors as they perform that operation on his shoulder, that you would give them wisdom and a steady hand to do good work there, and that he would have a quick recovery, and that his shoulder would be strengthened back to what it was before it was injured. We pray for even Joel as he's overcoming this sickness that he's had. We pray that you would continue to strengthen him each day and return him back to full health. We pray for each one of us here that you would watch over our health through this Christmas season, through this winter season, as there's so many bugs going around and all. We pray that you would keep us all strong and healthy. Lord, we pray for each one of the little ones here as they grow up, growing in the knowledge of your grace. We pray, Lord, that you would gather them up in your arms. Carry them through their lives. Carry them, Lord, in faith, in grace, and mercy. We pray, Lord, that their eyes would be on you also, just as has been the case in generations before through your church. Lord, we know that you carry your church from generation to generation. We pray that you would continue to do that through their lives and through them, Lord. We pray for each one of us here that you would make us a tool in your hand to accomplish your goodwill, to spread that gospel message to a hurting, fallen world, that message of hope, that message of restoration. We pray, Lord, that you would use us to be mouthpieces for that gospel message, that Christ came to die for the sins of the world, and that forgiveness is a free gift, free to anyone who desires it, Lord. We pray that you would prepare the hearts for that message. We pray that your grace would continue until that day comes when Christ returns to take us all home to be with you. We pray all this in his name. And hear us as we pray that prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be multiplied to each and every one of you as we continue on with our service here this morning. We'll read from Paul's letter to the Romans, the first chapter, reading the first seven verses of the first chapter, reading in Jesus' name. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify them, for your word is truth. I don't believe that Paul had been to Rome as of yet, because he says down in the 11th verse, he says, I long to see you. And then he says that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. And he says that is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. And it's a interesting statement, and it's true. We are comforted by the mutual faith of one another, because it is something that allows us to be strengthened. One of the things that Jesus told Peter when he was with him, when he was traveling with Jesus, he told him that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith would fail not. And then he said, to strengthen the brethren. The good shepherd of the sheep, mentioned there in the 80th Psalm, is a very kind and caring and loving shepherd. He cares for us more than we are able to know or think. He is able to do more abundantly than what we are able to comprehend. He's at work when we are not aware of it. When we're sleeping, our Lord is at work, because he does not slumber, nor does he sleep. And so he was born, as we will hear from the children, as they probably will be reciting to us many of the sweet truths of the Christmas story. And as we know that this babe who was born the world had been waiting for him for close to 4,000 years, and we are in waiting again. We're waiting for his return. Paul didn't understand what Peter understood at the time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, after what Paul writes here, that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. He was declared to be the Son of God, but Paul, at that time, when Jesus was being declared to be the Son of God by Peter and the rest of the disciples, Paul was trying to figure out how he would destroy those people that believed in Jesus Christ. He was trying to figure out how he would somehow be able to destroy the gospel that was known at that time as the way, because he saw it as a very threat to his past understanding and to the Jews' religion. He didn't know Jesus Christ, and therefore he didn't know who God was either. Because we are not able to understand who God is without being able to understand who Jesus Christ is and who he was, a man born as we are, born of the seed of David. And it's interesting for us to understand that for him to come, God, who made all things, to come here to this earth and to be born is a very comforting part of the whole picture of God's grace and of his love toward us. Because he came to identify with what we are and who we are. We often see him painted or portrayed as a taskmaster, as someone who is depicted almost like a Santa Claus, that unless you behave yourself, he's not going to respond and be kind to you. But we have a God, he's not like a Santa Claus. He doesn't worry about if you've been naughty or if you've been nice. He just looks at you as one who has been covered by his blood and washed in his gospel, in the pure water of his gospel, and through the various sacraments that he has provided for us, that he has been able to provide for us a visible means of the invisible cleansing that has taken place within each and every one of our hearts, that took place in the heart of Abraham when it is recorded that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And we are able to understand that with this spirit of holiness that Paul writes about here, he saw a glimpse of the spirit of holiness when Stephen was being stoned. It tells us in Acts that they laid the clothes of Stephen at his feet. But when Stephen was dying, it says that he cried out with a loud voice and he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." This is the spirit of holiness. This is the spirit of holiness that poured forth from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This babe who was born in a manger, when he became of age, he began his ministry approximately at the age of 30. But he was nailed to a cross because of false accusations. And the spirit of holiness was upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he was there, suspended between heaven and earth, he cried out, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." Many of those people who cried out to have him crucified, many of them were able to hear Peter preach when the Spirit of holiness was poured out upon those disciples on Pentecost. When they were able to hear the word spoken in their own dialect, in their own language, because the Holy Spirit was able to interpret for them the gospel message. And the Holy Spirit has been able to do it to each and every one of us as well. We have come to understand and to know that it is the goodness and the kindness of God that has led us to Him, so that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We have tasted of the Spirit of holiness, that is, it is not a spirit of revenge, but it is a spirit of humility. It is a spirit of consolation. It is a spirit of comfort. It is a spirit that gives life. It is a spirit that is able to teach us about the ways of Him who has loved us and who has given Himself for us. Because John writes in his epistle that God is love and that there is no fear in love. Because this love has been able to extinguish the fear that the world has, so that we as His children, even though our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our heart. Because this spirit of holiness that Paul speaks of here, it speaks to us of something that is greater than the world has ever been able to know or understand or comprehend, when it speaks of the resurrection from the dead. We know that there were many that tried to extinguish the life of this Christ child at various times, at various points in his life. And he was able to slip away because his time of fulfillment had not taken place. But his face was toward, as we read in the scripture, his face was toward Jerusalem, and he was going there knowing full well what was going to happen to him. And he went there because of his great magnanimous love for each and every one of our souls, so that we would be the beneficiaries of this one that the Hebrew writer speaks of, that he tasted death for every man, so that we would be able to experience God's grace, that we would experience His resurrection power that we live in from strength to strength and from faith to faith, knowing full well that when we close our eyes to this world, they will be opened to a new world, a new heaven, a new earth. That spirit of holiness that testifies to us of the new Jerusalem that will come down as a bride adorned for her husband. It is the mother of us all. It is a city that is considered the mother of us all, because that new Jerusalem has borne a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, even though He was born in Bethlehem, but yet He represented the great promise that God would give, so that we who are citizens in a natural sense can confess and say that our citizenship is from above. We are from the One who has loved us and given Himself for us. And so we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name's sake, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And he addresses to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we greet one another with the peace of God, we know that this peace is only made possible because of this babe who was born here. He brought peace and goodwill to men, even though it seems far removed in a world of much chaos. But he is able to change the lives of a person like the Apostle Paul, one who was filled with hate and anger towards his own people that were converted. He was able to change him from an instrument of unrighteousness to an instrument of peace, not because of works of righteousness which Paul had done, but as he writes to Titus, he says, with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, he became a child of God. He became a child of promise. He became a saint. And he was able then to write 13 letters in the Bible, of which we are able to read, and we can understand more and more of this Lord who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And here we are able to rejoice and to know that this babe, even though he seemed to be a helpless babe, but yet he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was the one who walked with the people of God when they traveled from the land of bondage to the promised land. For Paul says that this rock followed them, and he said, this rock was Christ. And so when we go through life, when we travel from our place of birth, wherever it may be, to that home that is eternal in the heavens, we can say, this rock follows us. This rock became the head cornerstone of the temple. And we, because of the Spirit of holiness, we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have much reason to rejoice and to be glad, because our peace and our hope and our wisdom, our righteousness and our sanctification, they do not depend on where we have been born in this world, but it depends on the Lord who has been able to be born in us through his Spirit, even as the Spirit was able to cause Mary to have a child born of the seed of David. We likewise, the word is the good seed that has been planted in our hearts, and that God has been able to give the increase. He continues to give the increase to that word, which is a good and gracious word, because it testifies of all that he has done and that what he has accomplished, that it is enough. And when he said, it is finished, we are able to rest in him, the one who has loved us and given himself for us. May God add his blessing to the reading and speaking of his word. Amen.